Welcome once again, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast. Happy New Year. Happy holidays to you. Live from Philadelphia. Well, not really live, but here in Philadelphia. And I trust you, I am alive. John Manuel of Baseball America, along with Aaron Fitt. Aaron, Happy New Year, and welcome to Philadelphia. I'm not from Philadelphia.
It's a pleasure to be here, John, always at this convention, which is such a great gathering of so many of the important figures in college baseball all in one place. And everyone, I think, here to talk about some important issues. I think this thing got off to a pretty good start today.
Yeah, it did. We'll do a quick explanation. It's the first college podcast of the year here at Baseball America. We'll do a quick explanation of what the ABCA convention is. It's the American Baseball Coaches Association. And it's a meeting place for it. There's a trade show. People can show off Nike and Reebok can show off their clothes and their sweat wicking, their water moisture wicking clothing off to the coaches, and all kinds of goofy equipment, all kinds of useful equipment, metal wood bats and all kinds of goofy stuff like that. But there are also a lot of meetings that go on. It's really the only time that coaches gather nationally. If you're a college basketball fan, you know that the College Basketball Coaches Association meets at the Final Four every year. So that's when the college basketball coaches meet. It would be awesome if college baseball did that in Omaha every year. That would be the natural place. But instead, they rotate every year, and this year it's in Philadelphia for the first time. Not quite the same, Aaron, as when it's in San Diego, but our favorite venue. But a lot of things discussed already, Aaron, and obviously college baseball, a whole lot of changes in college baseball this year. All those have been chronicled on Baseball America's college blog over at baseballamerica.com. Aaron, I guess the biggest thing is that tonight was the Division I coaches meeting. There's a general meeting for all Division I baseball coaches who are at the convention and who are ABCA members. I believe Dave Kylitz, head of the ABCA, said there were 236 coaches in Division I who are members, head coaches, who are members of the ABCA. So 236 out of 285. And a very strong turnout and a pretty long and very interesting Division I coaches meeting tonight, where the anticipation leading up to it was that this was going to be an eventful meeting. And instead, it was an informative meeting, but it was not eventful. And contrary to belief going in, the fur did not fly.
Yeah, I think, like you said, going into this meeting, a lot of coaches were speculating that there was going to be some controversy. There was going to be some raised voices and some people voicing some dissent with the new legislation, which we've written about, I think, ad nauseum on the website, all about the main issue is the scholarship changes.
Right.
There's going to be a cap on the rosters at 35, and there's going to be a cap on the number of scholarship players at 27. Eventually, it's going to start at 30 and then go down to 27. And of course, most controversially, I think,
25%.
The cap on or the minimum scholarship threshold at 25%. So those were the key issues, and there's a lot of mixed opinion on those issues. But I really thought tonight that Dave Kylitz took control of this meeting from the beginning. I think he set the tone right at the very beginning when he told the people standing in the back of the room, either sit down or leave. Right there, he established, hey, I'm in charge of this thing. I'm Dave Kylitz. You guys have been listening to me for a long time here, and you need to continue listening to me and the other people who are in leadership positions in the ABCA and in the college baseball coaching community, who are doing a good job, I think, on the whole. And it's so difficult, I think, because it's hard to get a consensus in college baseball because it's such a fractured group. Just naturally with the geographic differences and the differences in the number of scholarships that people have in different parts of the country. And it's hard to get everybody on the same page. And I think that Dave does as good a job as anyone could trying to build unity among this group as much as possible. And, he understands that it's never going to be possible to make everybody happy. But I think tonight some people were able to voice their concerns respectfully. I thought Jack Leggett of Clemson in particular got up there and expressed his disappointment with the way that the minimum scholarship threshold was implemented. He thinks that coaches should be able to be creative with the scholarships among a 35-man roster cap, for example. And he voiced that respectfully, and Dave let him, speak his mind, and I think everyone benefited from the meeting.
Yeah, I mean, you hit on a great point. really the opposition to anything in college baseball these days has been, in the last 15 years, is voiced by Ron Polk and the coach at Mississippi State. And unfortunately, Ron Polk has wasted a lot of political capital over the years railing against Title IX. A pretty losing battle. While you can, I think it's into, you could definitely argue that baseball gets the short end from the NCAA. College baseball gets the short end from the NCAA. And I've written that column and I've talked about that. We've talked about that on podcasts even. And Ron Polk makes that point, but he's blamed it all on Title IX, and that's just kind of ridiculous. And you know, Ron's wasted the stature that he should have with college presidents of being a veteran college coach who's coached at three different places, who's taken three different programs to Omaha, who's coached a lot of big leaguers, who redshirts a lot of players, whose players have great GPAs. He should have great credibility with college administrators. Instead, he does not. Because he's basically throws a lot of Molotov cocktails around in these memos, these letters he sends. And he wrote a 19-page letter in the fall railing against these changes. Instead, Jack Leggett, who's a veteran coach who coached in Vermont, who coached at Western Carolina, now coaches at Clemson and has for some time, about 16 years now at Clemson, who's got two former assistants as head coaches, three actually, John Pulaski down at College of Charleston, Tim Corbin at Vanderbilt, now Kevin O'Sullivan down in Florida. So you've got Jack Leggett's a big-time coach. He hasn't won in Omaha. He has a very similar resume, actually, to Ron Polk. But he was articulate. He was impassioned tonight, but he was respectful in his dissent. And that was helpful. I thought the meeting, you know, Ray Tanner, Elliot Avin, other coaches spoke up. And I thought it was a very constructive meeting. But the basic point is that Dave Kiles made is, look, these changes are here to stay. And I almost think, Aaron, because college baseball is so fragmented, because it's fragmented geographically, there is not one single person who can stand and speak for what might be a disaffected majority or minority. Right now, I really feel there is a significant minority of college coaches who feel a little bit disaffected and that the ABCA did not represent them. But that's basically the stronger schools, the stronger programs. And they're in the minority, and that's why they're the ones who Jack Leggett was speaking for when he said, I don't like being told how to run my program. I don't like being told how to spend my money. And he was talking about the NCAA and those scholarship minimums that you have to spend. A player, you can't give a player a 5% or a 10% scholarship, a book scholarship. You have to give them 25% or you give them nothing. And I think Jack makes a lot of good points, but the NCAA really doesn't seem like it's listening. I think that Dave Kiles and other coaches have made those good points before, and they weren't able to, you know, and the NCAA just isn't listening. It's very difficult to get a good feel for the sport of college baseball if you're a college administrator, it seems.
And, you know, I think a lot of these changes would be a lot more palatable to people like Jack Leggett and other coaches at those power schools if they were accompanied by an increase in the number of scholarships from 11.7. And that is something that Dave Kiles addressed tonight and said that it was something he was hoping would be included in this whole reform package, and he was told that now wasn't the time to do that. But there is some momentum for this, and he hinted at this a little bit last year, and he was a little bit more specific, I think, this year when he said that if these academic reforms are successful and progress is made with the APR and these kinds of measures, that he's been given indications that there will be traction, I think, for raising the scholarship limit the scholarship amount to 14 or so. And that's something that not all of the coaching community supports because, as Dave pointed out tonight, more than half of the schools out there are not fully funded. They have less than 11.7 scholarships already. So it would seemingly put them further behind the eight ball if you allow the power schools to get up to 14. So, but I do think, nonetheless, that would be a change that would be in the best interest of the sport as a whole, and I think that it would assuage some of the concerns I think that some of the power schools have, and the fact of the matter is I don't think college baseball should be making decisions based on what's best for the schools who haven't made full commitments to baseball.
Right.
Great point. If your school hasn't committed 11.7 scholarships, maybe they should before we start looking out for what's in your best interest.
That's a great point.
Especially where, you know, there's a lot of schools making money at college baseball, and those are the schools that I think would stand to benefit from going to 14.
I think that's a fantastic point, Aaron Fick, as we, by the way, we're watching the Iowa caucus returns come in, a thrilling evening for a couple of politics nerds like me and Aaron. So watching Barack Obama now. Congratulations to Mike Huckabee and Barack Obama tonight in Iowa with their victories. I'm dating myself if you're downloading this later, but it's a Baseball America podcast, not a CNN podcast here. John Manuel, Aaron Fitt in Philadelphia, not covering the Iowa caucuses, covering the ABCA convention. And you have to follow, I think, a lot of these rules changes to really follow along with what we're talking about. But it was an interesting meeting, pretty packed house early on, but that was just, it turned out for the rules. A couple of rules changes in college baseball this year. The main one I think that the average fan will be interested in is that they're going to try to crack down on guys leaning in to get hit by a pitch, taking a dose, the West Coast style of baseball. We should have asked George Horton about that, Oregon coach George Horton in the house. George helped perfect that at Cal State Fullerton, and then, of course, it was used against him. Dave Serrano, UC Irvine, the pupil outwitting the teacher, getting guys taking a dose with Irvine this year in Omaha.
And I think that was a big, big motivation for this change was that one game, that Cal State Fullerton UC Irvine game in Omaha, where Horton actually got ejected for arguing that Taylor Holliday leaned into a pitch in a crucial extra inning situation. And Taylor Holliday later admitted that he did, in fact, lean into the pitch. That's what he was coached to do. And so I think that you're now going to see a greater emphasis on this. Players will still be allowed to stay put. I mean, if they freeze, they're still going to be allowed to take first base.
Right.
But you can no longer dive out over the plate and try to get hit by a pitch. They're going to crack down on that stuff this year.
I think we're going to call that a Taylor Holliday rule. It'll really just be called the George Horton rule. George is who really taught everybody that, so we love George. But he'll figure out another way to get his guys on base with now that they're Ducks instead of Titans. But I wrote a story on the growing trend in hit by pitches in Omaha for the College World Series program about 4 years ago, and the trend has just accelerated each of the last couple of years, so it was about time that it changed. But you really do get a sense of how much power ESPN has with college baseball. They've changed when the Super Regionals are done. They've changed now when the College World Series starts. It'll start on a Saturday, not on a Friday. They're changing the schedule so they can have more weekday night games because those are for TV ratings. TV ratings. Larry Templeton, the Division I Baseball Committee Chairman, said as much tonight. They want to have sufficient lighting. It will be for Super Regional hosts to accommodate ESPN television. These are some of the changes they talked about. We're still efforting to get information from the NCAA. They talked about at the meeting tonight the profits, the profitability of the tournament, and also they talked about the increased TV ratings, but they did not have solid numbers at the meeting tonight. So that was disappointing. We're looking to get those numbers from the NCAA. A couple other things, though, Aaron, that did come up that were interesting. There was an NCAA representative there talking for the first time that I've ever heard at one of these conventions I've been going. I missed a couple, but for the most part, I've gone to most of these since 1998. But a gentleman there talking about agents and college baseball. And this was a significant concern. It came up in December at the meeting, the story you've already written about, at the winter meetings where the 30 Major League Scouting Directors already have their annual meeting at the winter meetings, and they brought in 10 to 12 college baseball coaches plus Dave Kylitz to talk to the Scouting Directors about issues, and one of the big concerns is agents and the pervasive influence agents have, basically coaching players, steering players to colleges, steering players to summer leagues, coaching players when they're professionals. It's a problem that I don't think anyone in baseball, college coaches or on the pro side, are very happy with the situation right now. And so that was being addressed. The fact that was addressed for the first time was newsworthy to me. You have one conference that's proposing to reduce the number of games to 50 games a year. It doesn't sound like that proposal has a whole lot of traction, but the fact that it's even out there, I think, is surprising. There are a few news items out there, but I guess the biggest one I want to make sure we touched on here, I saved for last, is Denny Pope, the director of baseball operations for the NCAA, talking about the future of the College World Series in Omaha. And it sounds like Omaha is going to remain the home of the College World Series, which it should in perpetuity in my mind. If I'd ever written a Futurama episode, I would have written about the College World Series in its 2000th edition or whatever in Omaha. I don't know how many years in the future was Futurama.
I don't know.
If it was an Idiocracy 560 years out, you could have had some idiots playing college baseball in Omaha still. As long as it's still in Omaha, I'm okay with it. But there really does seem to be, it sounds like, Aaron, quite a bit of momentum to replace Johnny Rosenblatt Stadium with a new College World Series-only stadium in downtown Omaha, which I don't know what they would do with the rest of the year, but a separate ballpark would probably be built for the Omaha Royals, nay Golden Spikes, nay Royals. And they're back to being Royals again. But I don't know what your feelings are on that. I can finish with my feelings. But what, you've been to Omaha here 3 years in a row now. What do you feel about? What are your feelings on Johnny Rosenblatt Stadium and the possibility of it? And it sounds like now the probability of it being replaced.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to backtrack for a second.
Please.
I think that you know they were talking about maybe making a little bit of noise about exploring other venues, but I don't think that was ever really any serious consideration leaving Omaha. That is, I mean, I think there was a story. Back in June about Indianapolis maybe being interested. I think that was just kind of a ploy. I thought it was pretty transparent.
Agreed.
Actually. But I personally think they should try to keep it at Rosenblatt. I'd love to see Rosenblatt renovated. I mean in the Fenway Park kind of a mold. Fenway Park 10 years ago was really not a very great good place to watch a baseball game. It was kind of a dump. And I say that as a Red Sox fan. But if you go there now, it's still old. And it still shows its age here and there, but it's a terrific place to watch a game. And they've made a lot of upgrades. And I haven't looked at the numbers and the specific proposals, of course. I don't know how feasible it would be to give Rosenblatt the kind of facelift that maybe would be required. But that's what certainly the sentimentalist in me would like to see. And I don't think Rosenblatt is in such terrible shape just on the surface. They've done upgrades over the years. I mean, Danny Pope said today that they put $40 million in just since 1992 in upgrading the place. So I understand that they're going to do what's in the best interest of the event. I would like to see it remain in Rosenblatt somehow. I think it's a terrific venue. I think it has a lot of history, but it's not just the history. It's a really good place to watch baseball.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing is that you see it on TV and you instantly know that it's Rosenblatt. You know, you see Dodger Stadium on TV here, and you instantly know it's Dodger Stadium. You watch a game, and you see Fenway Park, and you instantly know it's Fenway Park, Wrigley Field, Yankee Stadium. You know, even Camden Yards. Some of the newer ballparks kind of have almost the same. You have PNC Park in Pittsburgh is instantly recognizable. I think that's one of the things that makes PNC Park a great ballpark. And that's something that Rosenblatt has, and it has history. I would hate to see Rosenblatt go. I really don't understand. I think this this is why I want to wrap up with this, is to me the desire to replace Rosenblatt Stadium goes with an earlier conversation we had with a couple of coaches who will remain nameless when we talked about all the college baseball changes. The championship is making money. The NCAA is making money off college baseball for the first time since 1998. 1998, people who have probably read this from me, if they've followed my coverage of college baseball, or they've heard me talk about this for years. 1998, college baseball was in horrible shape. You had a tournament that lost almost $250,000. You had a 48-team tournament. You had play-in games. You had a 21-14 national championship game. You had the bats going out of control. They were out of control, Jerry. 1999, it all changed. The bats got fixed. It was a difficult process, but the bats became a lot more tame. The NCAA tournament expanded to 64 teams. You had the beginning of super regionals. You had this wonderful, thrilling round of actual 2 out of 3 real baseball, not some meat grinder regional, but real 2 out of 3, two teams on 16 campuses around the country, extra week of exposure. The super regionals are the best thing that's ever happened to college baseball. And all 30 conferences getting an automatic bid now because you had 64-team tournament. And on top of all that, you had the College World Series and that the NCAA tournament going from a money loser to a significant money maker. Instantly, 64-team tournament, you snap your fingers, you go from $250,000 loss to a $2 million profit. So now you've got, since 1999, this very profitable tournament. I think the NCAA does not want to, A, they don't want to mess with it because the tournament's a good thing for them, and two, now they say, hey, we can make even more money off this thing. So I think, as long as the tournament's making money, the NCAA does not worry about the other problems that college baseball has. And that's why I think the NCAA has not had effective leadership that reflects what college baseball coaches want with respect to these academic progress reform They've ignored what the college baseball coaches want because they're going to do what they want. You know, Jack Leggett mentioned this is not democracy. He mentioned that during his speech at the meeting tonight. I almost laughed. Has he never heard the phrase that academia is the last bastion of fascism? I mean, there's no democracy on a college campus, period. What the administrators on the college campus want, they get, period. There's no democracy there. So that was kind of laughable for Jack to say that. But on top of all of it, again, I think the desire to build a new Rosenblatt Stadium is all about the NCAA is making money off college baseball, and they just want to make more money off it. And for them, that does not mean that the individual 285 schools, that means the championship level. So if a new Rosenblatt Stadium does that, they're all for it. Sentimentality be damned. I don't think that is really what the NCAA is ever about. They're about the greenbacks, they're about money, and a new stadium in downtown Omaha with luxury boxes and all these kind of things would bring in more revenue, plain and simple.
I think you hit the nail on the head, but I wanted to make one more point quickly here. And you'll be able to read more about this in the coming weeks on BaseballAmerica.com and in the issue. All this stuff is not finalized.
Right.
Danny Pope said today there were two proposed downtown sites for a new stadium solely for the College World Series. And then there was another proposal that involves revamping Rosenblatt or the current site. And they hope to have a decision by the College World Series in 2008. So we've got a few months here yet to go. And I think Danny Pope, if you read between the lines, he seems like he favors building a new downtown stadium. And he certainly holds a lot of sway. But I don't know how other people feel about that. I mean, I know that most of the heavyweight coaches you talk to, like Wayne Graham, for example, comes to mind, love Rosenblatt and are big proponents of keeping Rosenblatt as the site. But how much influence do they really have when it comes down to it? When you're talking about the NCAA championships,
right,
and battling the greenback, as you put it, mm-hmm. I don't think they have an awful lot of influence. So we'll see what happens. I still hope that Rosenblatt remains the site, but I think you're right. It will come down to the almighty dollar.
I believe I'm making myself a 19th century reference there by saying it's all about the greenbacks. I believe in the 20th century, and here in the early 21st century, we'd say all about the Benjamins. But I decided to go all 1873 on you, a little U.S. Grant reference there for whatever reason. But I think that's what it's all about, and it's unfortunate, but I think that's where the NCAA is headed. And it's going to be a sad day unless they name it Dado Field or some such. They won't dissuade me. I'll be very disappointed to see Rosenblatt Stadium go. And maybe I'm being premature in saying that's the way it's headed, Aaron, but I really thought the way Denny Pope was talking about it tonight, that the NCAA is on its way to a new, and in their minds, more profitable home for the College Series. At least the home will remain in Omaha. I wonder if maybe there'll be a transitional stage where if they're tearing down Rosenblatt and building a new ballpark downtown, or maybe they'd play not in Omaha, but that would also be a Travis Shea mockery. So let's hope that doesn't come to pass. We have got plenty more coming up on BaseballAmerica.com this year, and when it comes to college baseball, I don't think that anybody covers college baseball remotely like we do at Baseball America, because we have a passion for the players, and we have a passion for who wins. We care who wins, and we care who the good players are, and we care who gets drafted. We also care about who sponsors this podcast, and that is DeMarini, Wilson DeMarini. More than 150 programs, including the back-to-back Division I and Division II national champions, Oregon State, the O-State Ballas, and University of Tampa Spartans, have switched to the DeMarini power system. You can log on to DeMarini.com/DNation to check out their interactive roster of the current DeMarini teams. I'm looking at a map in the latest edition of Baseball America, and there are D's all over the freaking country that are DeMarini schools. And we will be hopefully bringing you a podcast with one of those DeMarini coaches. More importantly, he is the 2-time defending national championship coach of the O-State Ballers of Oregon State, Pat Casey. He'll be giving a brief clinic tomorrow here at the ABCA. Oh, yeah, there are clinics at the ABCA, the convention. You come here and you can learn how to be a better coach. But we'll try to grab Pat Casey tomorrow morning after his clinic presentation. But we thank DeMarini for their sponsorship of Baseball America's online chats for college baseball and for the podcast. Aaron, you're chatting tomorrow, are you not?
I am chatting 1 o'clock Eastern time on BaseballAmerica.com.
That'll be, Friday, January the 4th, correct? No, January 5th. I guess it's January, whatever. It's Friday, and that's when Aaron will be chatting, January 4th. So this is, we're on Thursday, January 3rd. We thank you for your patience with us for this late night from Philadelphia podcast. Congratulations again to Mike Huckabee and Barack Obama, winners in the Iowa caucuses. We're going to turn our attention back to Iowa after recording this podcast. Thank you for listening and for the download for Aaron Fitt. I'm John Manuel. So long, everybody.